be done in a backyard club as well as any number of things you can think of. Nursing homes, people dying, getting hauled off and put in a nursing home and nobody loving them, nobody caring, but you have a heart for that. I mean, you're good with kids and you could do something. Some of you could be a mentor, a big brother, Christian. But the bottom line is this, are you on call for God? Is your ear to the rail? Are you saying, God, what do you want me to do? Well, I'm busy now. I have a party to attend. I have friends, and what would they think, beloved? It's on you. God says it's on you because God will not circumvent your free will. You've got to choose. You see, he says there's a land to be divided. You've got to reach down, and you've got to reach strong. He's not saying reach down in. He'll tell us where he gets that strength here in a minute. Verse 11 says, only be thou strong. He says it like four or five times in the whole passage. Be strong and of good courage, for unto you this people shall, that under this people you will divide the land for an inheritance, which I swear to their fathers. Only be thou strong and very courageous, verse 7, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses commanded. And he says, turn not from the left hand to the right. He says that thou mayest prosper for thou. Now, observe, right? He says that you observe. The word observe literally means to protect, to watch, to guard over. What? The Word of God. Listen, we were talking in our Sunday school class this morning about how people treat their kids like they're the king. You know, everything's inverted today. We know this. And in the Christian community, we're all sitting around and say, yeah, we got all animated in there, didn't we? We were kind of excited. We thought about, yeah, man, the princess and the pea, you know, we got to give away the thing. And, oh, they're crying. We got to fix that. Oh, poor thing. What do you want? Oh, well, we can't go to church. They're just crying. We just can't go to church. They don't sit still. Make them sit still. I should have got some amen. But we're all afraid of our kids. I'm sorry, folks. This is true. We were looking at Nehemiah chapter 8. The Bible talks about it and says that when he opened the book, that everybody stood, and everybody stood from early morning till noonday, everyone who could understand. Can a five-year-old understand what I'm preaching? Not everything, but they can understand some of it. And they could be made to sit. You know, I've taken my kids. I had all three of them in a row. We were going into the store. I may have told this, but you need to remember it because it's good stuff. I said to them, I said, now, kids, we are going into the pharmacy here. And I said, we got to go all the way in the back because some guy thought we should have to go to the back. All right? So he put it in the back. So we go all the way through. We got to go to the pharmacy. But if you touch one thing as we go through this store, you're going to get a spanking. We're going to come right back out here and spank you. Well, we went in. Hey, we're marching on. We're doing real good. But I took the bad turn. Yeah, you like the way I go? The idea? These guys are three left in a row. Great. But it was just too much for Craig. Sorry, Craig. You were listening. Craig said, what is that toy aisle? And he gripped. Put it back. We walked all the way. It was a long way. All the way back out of the car. We got him in there. My car was rocking in the road. And guess what? Listen, this is the key to it all. Listen. Then we went back in. And they didn't touch anything the next time. You see, what we do is we give them that spanking we promised them, but we don't put them back where we told them not to be, and we don't take them back and get that thing worked out because now they knew, they understood, they had peace and joy and wonderful. In fact, we may succeed sometimes if they've done what you told them. Give them a candy bar at the checkout counter. But the bottom line is obedience gets rewarded and disobedience gets punished. And all I'm saying, folks, is everyone can understand. A 5-year-old can sit in a service. They used to do it all the time. Most of our people who are a little older than me even know that. They remember kids and they were sitting there. Mom, they were sick. Over in Haiti, you know what they got? They got sticks with little points on. You start falling asleep, they come around, they look, everybody falls asleep, they poke them. And if it's a woman, they got a hug. I don't know what that's all about. They reach up and tickle their ear. They're poking you with a stick. Say, use a feather. That'll work. They poke them. I love this. They got these things called cry rooms. And that's fine. Kids get out of hand. You need to take them in and make them cry. Oh, that's not what those are for. Is it? I digress. But you know, the bottom line is this. Is that our kids can be made to understand and behave.
And when you look at this passage, the Bible says that there comes a point where God puts it on our shoulders as individuals, and He begins to speak to us as individuals. First of Luke 7 is where He says, you've got to be very strong, and He says the way that you'd be strong is to observe, to watch, to do according to the law of Moses. You cannot be strong in your own strength and prevail in the way God promises you will prevail. You cannot be strong in your own strength and be prosperous and successful the way God promises you will be prosperous and successful. I'll tell you what, you know, during the Revolutionary War, you may have read some of this, but probably not most of us unless we've done homeschooling or something. You find really neat nuggets. Do you know that the Indians really wanted to know who this guy was named George Washington? After the battles were going on and they saw some things going on and he begins to be a revolutionary, and they began to say, who is that guy? And they said, because we were shooting at him left and right and nothing could touch him. Because that was the man who was like this, dear God, I don't know what to do. These people are looking at me and they're wondering what I'm going to do. And only you are my strength. You can't go out there unclothed. You can't go out there ungirded. You've got to be a person in the battle who realizes that He alone can keep you strong. It says that Moses, the servant, commanded these things, and he says, don't turn to the left hand or the right. How? What's he say? Underline it in your Bible. That is the purpose clause. There's the proposition. You've got to do this. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The Bible says, when the righteous stumbles before the wicked, he is as a troubled fountain. And that's what happens to us. We go out there ungirded, unclothed, and we stumble before the world. And a fountain's a great thing. If you've ever been really thirsty and gone to real spring water, it's ice cold, just bubbling up. It's huge. That's a blessing. Wow. Do you know what you are? You are a fountain. You are fountains in your world. People are looking at you, and you're just bubbling along, and God's got the fresh water of life inside your bosom, and you go out there and you represent. What happens? You go out there and take it for granted because grace easily is taken for granted. And you begin to live a little loose and begin to walk a little bit wide and you go a little off the path and you find yourself in despair and you're like a troubled fountain, and that's a miserable thing. Because anytime you go to drink from a fountain, if it's springing up, you feel pretty confident about that, right? But if it's troubled, you think, well, what is it that's obstructing it? Maybe something gross, maybe something bad. You're not going to stick your mouth down there. And you're plus, you got to get, you know, it's not flying up in the air, so you got to get it off the ground. There's dirt, there's amoeba, you know. There's parasites. The point is made, is it not? You and I, if we're just bubbling off and we're right with God, we are like a fountain of life and we give life. He says, protect the heart, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. I can't tell you how to be in boot camp. I can't tell you how to be strong and succeed in your backyard club better than what He does here. It's the Word of God. Observe it. Guard it. When somebody begins to speak evil of your Lord, just step up and say, that's my Lord. I was sitting around at the Cleveland with a bunch of guys that were really brutish in their behavior on the site. And they began to mock a little. And one of them said, oh, look at this. I see Jesus Christ, vampire slayer. I said, he was just mocking me, really. There was nothing such in there. I said, really? And he kind of laughed at me. I said, you know what? I said, whenever his name is mentioned, I just want you to know, he's my hero. So I'm interested in anything that has to do with him. And then I went a little further and I said, you know what? And I wouldn't put it past this generation to put something like that out there. But he's my hero! And he needs to be yours deliberately too, wherever you go. The Bible says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. Look at that. He says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What's this got to do with? We're going to battle. We're going to war. What are you? What, a Bible? You're going to take a Bible? We got to read the Bible? Got to talk about it, you mean? Say it out loud? Listen, he says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He says, observe it. And he says, observe it to do everything that's contained in it. And the word to do in verse 7 has the idea of actually fashioning it. You know, God gave us His word to live out in front of people. What did Jesus look like? What do you envision? Well, if it was in our day and He had come, he'd have been king. He'd have been just kind of in kind of regular clothes. He wasn't wearing a collar.
And he wasn't wearing dark black clothing all the time. And he wasn't walking around saying, kiss my ring. I'm sorry. That's not the Bible. That's not Jesus. And you weren't asked to do that either. I didn't, thank God, I didn't want to wear a dog collar all my life.
Did I say that? I did. Sorry. Scratch that. But I didn't. Anyway.
See, but God, what did God do? He said, be human, be a man. If you're a man, be a man. If you're a woman, guess what? Be a woman.
You say, well, I don't know how to be a woman. The Bible tells you. It really does. It answers the question.
You see, the bottom line is we have no sense of ourselves anymore because the world's got so much press.
We got the TV, the radio, the books.
We got it all. So we have no clue what God says because why? Because we can't read our Bibles. You say, well, it's so hard. It's so hard to read my Bible. Hard? Most of us could probably sit through two or three movies back to back. You remember the drive-in theater? They still got those, don't they?
Two movies! And we'll come here for 4 hours!
Many times longer. 4.5, 5 probably. Because some of those movies are long. But what's the point? We can't give God a half an hour a good day in the Word, but sit and watch TV for 2, 3, 4 hours. We can listen to talk radio, we can listen to radio, music all day long, all day long, all day long. Oh, it's Christian music, so I'm good. No, you're not good. If you're not reading your word, then you're not going to be protected. We saw it in our reading circles last week. It says, you know, if you're going around without the word of God in your heart, you're going around with no bullets in your gun. How silly would that be? The Bible says the way you're going to have good success, the way you're going to have courage, the way you're going to prosper, is by having God's word squarely in the center of your sight. The crosshairs of your life sees everything from it. He says, then you will have success. He says that you observe it, and he says to do it, to fashion it in front of people, verse 8. He says all that is written there, and you're fashioning that. You're showing them how it looks. And I just want to go on record. It's not just this thing I mentioned about black coats and collars and all that. Silly. Stop. I'm sorry. It's pagan. Came from pagan. And I'll put that on the internet too. You know, this is weird. I have to worry about telling everybody else. I'll tell you something. The Word of God is our litmus test. It's our plumb line. And the Word of God has no such silliness in it. Okay? And another thing it doesn't have in it, it doesn't have milquetoast men as Christians. These men lay their head on the block and say, cut away to live as Christ to die as gain. These were men. To be a Christian, you've got to be a man. You've got to have a blue steel backbone, as our preacher once said years ago when I was young. You can't be a Christian and be a wimp. You can't be a Christian and be a sissy. You may as well leave now. There's a whole world out there that would love to have you. Because it takes men and it takes women of character and courage and strength. The Word of God is where you get it. The Bible says the knowledge of a man's heart makes his face to shine. Throw away the key. John Bunyan spent 14 years in prison because he would not preach from the Common Book of Prayer and under the authority of the Church of England, and he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, one of the greatest allegories that has ever been written about the Christian life. Read it if you haven't. You see, I can get lit up about some things because it grieves me so that our men won't be men and our women won't be real women, real ladies, who protect the men by not showing their bodies to everybody. That's our world. We show ourselves and we think, well, they look. I like being looked at. Yeah, you do. But that's what your husband. You see, the bottom line is that we have to protect, and real courage and real character and real honest assessment of things is what will be yours. The Bible says in verse 9, he says, not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. At the end of verse 9, he says, then thou shalt have good success. I love this. This word literally means to be able to distinguish between. It literally means to relate to an intelligent knowledge, or to relate, it relates to an intelligent knowledge of the reason behind something. What is the reason behind what God is doing? You and I are called, did you know? It's in there. The Bible says we shall judge the angels one day. Did you know that? You! Because that's the kind of success God yields in our lives. It's not about money and stuff. It's about knowledge of God, understanding of God, and that is eternal life. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. That is eternal life. And when you know Him and you go with Him, you will be blessed and you will be hedged in, you will have success, and nobody can take you out because you will be essential personality. But if you go out there unclothed, unguarded, and unequipped, you're a sitting duck. That's what happens. And you have no power, and you have no heart, and the Bible says it wars against your soul, and it takes the wind out of your sails, and you have no breath left in you, and you have no spirit left in you, because you're just sitting there thinking, I'm a wretch and I'm a wimp, and you know what? You're probably right. But God can fix that quick. The moment you ask Him to forgive you, He restores. He is faithful and just to forgive. So when you mess up, don't stay in that neighborhood. Say, I must help you. Jesus can help you. Jesus can help. A charge to keep for each one. Because what happens if you don't do it is on the other side of this coin when He says, have I not commanded? Afraid. The word afraid literally means to bristle with horror. It means to bristle with horror. It means to be I don't know if you've seen that or not, but in the scriptures there are times where people have been that. Saul got like that when he realized that the Lord had departed from him, and he went and found a medium spiritist and said, tell me, conjure up for me Samuel, I need a word. And he told him, you're going to die tomorrow in battle. You see, you got to hold close to Jesus. We have other guys like, they became so frightened, they became like stone. It doesn't happen to the one who has their faith in God, because our case is in His hands. And we're good with that. The Bible says in verse 9, it says, don't be afraid, neither be dismayed. The word dismayed literally means to be in a panic, shattered. The ideas are that of literally breaking. It has abstract destruction, demoralization, and terror. It's all in there. Don't be dismayed. Now, there's only one way you cannot be dismayed, one way you cannot be in terror, and it is to get God's Word as your plumb line, crosshair. As long as you're good with Him, no one can touch you. I say it again, you become the essential personality. Remember when the things went out, that everybody found essential, sent home? Beloved? There are very few people, Jesus says in His Word, He tells us in the Old Testament, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, but I found none. I found none. You know, when one person steps up and says, he's my hero, it's huge. We are good. I love you to death. You guys have been a blessing to me in so many ways. Would to God we would all just step up a little bit. Crank it up a little bit more. Crank it up another notch. And say, you know what? We got a good thing going here. If I'm struggling, I'll just call so-and-so on the phone, get some encouragement. But you know what? I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to start doing something for God. I'm going to take the battle to the devil. You ever heard him say that? We're going to take the battle to them. You know what? You can do that. The Bible says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and all the power. Nothing shall harm you. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places far above all principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. You and I, nothing is up there. The Bible says that nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. That we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who saves us and loves us. The Bible says that we are in His hand and we're in the Father's hand, and no man can in any way pluck us out. You see, if you don't know that verse, go look it up, because it's your verse. Go out in the battle without our gun filled up with bullets. Amen? It's the promises of God to get you through the day. Beloved, one more thing. Because this is great. This is like the Lord's prayer, the shepherd's psalm where it says, though I walk through the valley of death, shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Everything changed from he to thy. Look what God says to Joshua. He says in verse 9, the Lord thy God is with you. He's yours. He's your God. And you go with Him because He goes with you. It's very personal. Would you bow with me for a moment?